and welcome to the Superhero by Design Masterclass Series. Today, we are joined by Ramon Ra Newman. You might remember Ra from a previous episode where he talked about all the amazing things that he does for his coaching clients. And you might also remember that he spent 10 years as a full-time monk, meditating 7 days a week, probably at least 8 hours a day. So there is nobody more qualified to talk to you about breathing techniques and meditation than Ra. If you want more information or want to reach out to him about any of his services, go to superherobydesign.com/Ramon. And remember, Ramon is spelled R-A-A-M-O-N. Well, welcome, Ramon. It's great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, likewise, Ace. Really looking forward to this and giving you guys a good dose of new maverick kind of thinking and leadership. So looking forward to sharing as much as I can in as quick a time as I can and getting everyone on that path of being the most coherent leader that they can be.
That's right. And I know there's nobody, you deal with C-class executives all over the world, so I know there's nobody better than you. And I know we don't have a very long time in this class, so I'm just going to leave it up to you and do your thing. I'm going to be taking notes, and I am as excited as anybody else. So appreciate you coming on.
Awesome. Thanks, Ace. Really appreciate the opportunity. So basically, the essence of this class is to really enliven what it is to be what we call a new maverick leader. Now, we're basically not a leader unless we're a maverick in some way, shape, or form. Mavericks change the game. They improve the game for the betterment of everyone. And a new maverick leader does this by increasing their quality of coherence, which unifies things and makes things more protected and enhanced for you and everyone. So, you know, we're an interesting time in the economy. It's always an interesting time, as they say, but you know, there's a little recessionary stresses going on. So we want to get that clear thinking and deciding and leading without overanalyzing, right? So we're just going to cover some topics on how to do this. So the theme here is pulling back the arrow. Often we're firing arrows and taking action, but have we really pulled the arrow back? And the arrow being our thoughts, the bow being our mind, and really getting back to that source of thinking, that silent, coherent, alert, dynamic state that really allows us to have a greater chance of hitting the targets that we want. So how do we do this? Well, the technique that we're going to use is transcending meditation. And this is not a class on transcendental meditation. That's something you have to learn separately from a qualified teacher. Just go to tm.org. But I'm going to give you an insight as to what a transcending meditation is all about. And the research is very conclusive in terms of giving that experience of deeper calm, greater clarity of mind, and a healthier heart. There's all this research here that found that transcending meditation will reduce cortisol 30 to 40%. Sleep only does it about 10 to 12%. So this is very evidence-based. So why do you want to transcend? Well, this is the way we pull back the arrow, pull back the thoughts back to their source where they're most powerful. Because everyone's having the right thought at the right time. But if we're caught on the surface of the mind with a lot of thoughts, then we don't really pick up on the right thought at the right time. So when we're able to transcend and culture this transcending experience in our mind, then one, it dissolves the stresses. So we have a new awareness of possibility. Two, it gives us that clarity to have that right thought, pick up on that right thought at the right time to make the right decision. And at the same time, we're less mentally and emotionally fixed and attached to outcomes. We don't know how things are going to work out. All we can do is take the action, and we want to take as coherent action as possible so that, you know, there's a greater chance of getting the outcome that we want. And so when we're in this more transcendental value of ourselves, and we'll talk about this in a second, then we're less bound by how things are going to work out. We just know that things are going to evolve in some way because we're coming from a great space, because we've got this greater positive energy and power. Now, energy is like the fuel we put into the car. Power comes from the engine, right? So we want energy and power. They're actually two different things. And when we have that energy and that power, then we have that positive inspiration to be the catalyst that we need to be to inspire better things to happen for ourselves and people in our environment. And at the end of the day, also transcending helps you remember where you left your keys or your car or your glasses or wallet or whatever. Because how many times have we like tried to figure something out and then we just let go? And that letting go is a transcending, and then we go, and then the thought pops up, oh, I left them there, right? So it's a very powerful thing to do. Now, there's different types of meditation out there. We have the more focused attention, self-monitoring, open monitoring meditations, and there are more on a mindfulness level of meditation, and they're very good for enlivening more of the gamma and beta coherence in the brain, which is when we focus and process what we're focusing on. And it also has a value of activating the alpha, but not as strongly as a transcending meditation. They found that what they call an automatic self-transcending technique will activate a lot of global alpha coherence in the brain. And we'll get into what this is in a second. So when we're transcending, we're enlivening what we call untapped potential. Now the universe, when we look at it, only 10% of it is visible. 90% of it, we can't really see. It's just empty, dark space. Same thing in the brain. We see the neurons, but we don't see the neuroglia from the naked eye in the brain. And that's all the bits between the neurons that connects the neurons and makes them function coherently. Then we look at the DNA. We can see the body code for the DNA. We can't see the mind code. It's more invisible. It's more unseen. And then the conscious mind, we're aware of what we're aware of on our senses, but there's also a preconscious and a level of consciousness below that. So if we want to change, we want to evolve, we have to do it from within. Everything starts from within. You've probably heard that a number of times. Change begins within ourself, within our mind, within our heart, within our DNA, within that silent gap between our thoughts. And this is where we want to get to, is we want to improve business performance. And this is obviously in the level of culture and products and services and strategy and execution. That happens on a conscious level. Yet what drives that? It's leadership performance. It's the accuracy of our decision-making and communicating of those decisions. Where does that come from? It comes from clarity, coherence, creativity, capacity, catalyst, and being having that support to really capitalize on what we're enlivening. And this is really on a subconscious level. But what drives this leadership performance? It's a belief in self, a belief in the process, a belief in others and outcomes, and that comes from what we call CEO leadership consciousness. So this is silence. It's awareness. It's that ability to know. Just know that we're in tune with those laws of nature that's evolutionary for ourselves and for our environment and the people in it. And that we have that right energy and that fulfillment is already there when we start something. The fulfillment's there while we're doing it, and then it's there at the completion, right? Fulfillment's not something we achieve. It's something we experience within ourselves. And it's experienced through that transcending experience that enlivens that settled, coherent mind, that alert mind, and that content, happy and satisfied heart. So that's on the level of consciousness. So basically, we're enlivening this business performance that we all want to achieve on the outer world from the level of CEO leadership consciousness. And then that really influences the seen aspect of things. So this is what we're going to focus on here in this masterclass. And the ultimate thing here is that when there's absolute alertness, awakeness, clarity, coherence in our mind, there's always going to be victory and protection for us. But when we don't have this, then we're going to be corrupted by the stress, the pressures that are going on in ourselves and in the world. So what we want to activate is what we call a world-class brain. There's a book there, highly recommend it, that goes into great depth about the research on this. They found that world-class athletes, business leaders, and musicians, when they're performing at their best, making their best decisions, they have a unique style of brain functioning, and it's got a lot of this global alpha coherence in it. So what global alpha coherence means is we're more coherent, we're more relaxed, more in that wakeful state, and we're more efficient at what we're doing. And this gives us the ability to have more intensely happy and fulfilling peak experiences and a greater sense of morality in what we're doing. Example of this from our clients being the eye of the storm, organizing the biggest deal in corporate history, a lot of pressures, a lot of tight timeframes, a lot of possibilities for things falling apart. And he felt like he was the eye of the storm, calm and relaxed. And that indicates that he's having a lot of global alpha coherence. So how do we activate this? There's four ways that they've found that really activate more global alpha coherence. One is exercise, two is music, and three is breathing and meditation. And we're going to do a bit of breathing and meditation near the end of this, just to give you an experience of what we're talking about here. Breathing and meditation actually is the most powerful way to activate the global alpha coherence, the most simplest and direct way. And then it's music, and then it's exercise. So coherence is really a restful alertness. What this means from studies is there's an increased alertness and activity in the CEO of our brain, which is the prefrontal cortex. And then there's a restfulness, a decrease in activity actually in our brainstem, where we this amygdala area, this fight, flight, or freeze. So we'll talk about how to create coherence between these two, and breathing and meditation do this so that you're able to have what we call the leadership state, being in that leadership state. So transcending basically supports being in the flow state. So the transcendental value is always there. It's the fourth state of consciousness beyond waking, dreaming, and sleeping. And every time we go between waking and dreaming, dreaming and sleeping, we're transcending. So we're already transcending. We're already doing it. What we want to do is we want to stabilize that ability to function from that fourth state of awareness that has that flow there always between these different states. And we're able to really be that observer, a better observer of situations and circumstances. So even in activity, you know, there's action, and then we go back into the transcendent, into that memory of what is the next sequential action we have to take. This is happening. And the more we're good at this, either in sport or communication or decision-making, then the more there's a sequential unfoldment of progress. So Jeff Bezos is famous for saying this, his best decisions that he's made have been made from his heart, his intuition, his guts, and not with analysis. Now, obviously, he's not discounting analysis. He says if you can make it that way, do it. But he's always found that when you get in this really pure state of coherence, then your instinct, your intuition, the ability to know what is right takes over, the truth. So stress is a big kind of thing that impacts our brain and really hijacks our prefrontal cortex. And when our prefrontal cortex is stressed or fatigued or tired, then we're reducing our ability to think and decide and lead in a coherent way. So this is why we want to increase the coherence in the brain and know that when we're not coherent, to come back to coherence. When we're off course, then we have to come back on course. We come back on course by coming back to being centered and coherent. Example of one of our clients, he's found that experience of, you know, gaining clarity by reducing the stress, and he's become more creative and to the point where he feels like it's an unfair advantage that he can do this. So here's where the leadership state happens in our brain. When there's coherence between our prefrontal cortex and our amygdala, we have this state of vigilance. And vigilance gives us the ability to avert problems, to see opportunities before they arise. And so we want to maintain this as much as possible. So we have this balance in our thinking and deciding when we have this orderliness. And when we have this orderliness, or coherence is another word for it, we have a strong signal in our brain to pick up on the right thought at the right time, which counters any noise that we might be getting from any external sources or even our own mind. So when we have that strong signal, we're able to counteract the noise that's going on and make that right decision. Example of a client who works in a very complicated industry, the mining industry. There's a lot of noise going on there, and he's bombarded a lot. And he's found that this process has filtered the clutter, so he's able to really focus on what's important. So we're just going to give an example here. If I can just dive into this video of coherence. Let me see if I can activate it. Oh, hang on. We'll do it this way. Here we go.
So here we have an example of experience of Marcia's transcendental meditation program. I'm going to stop the screen for a moment here. You can see on the top we have the blinking cursor. Shows you the left front energy. The second line shows you the right front energy. And the bottom line shows you the oscillation from more to less of EEG coherence between the left and right frontal alpha EEG. You can see that the red line is at 0.9, where maximum is 1 or 100%. And so the scale goes from 0 to 100%. And we're going to continue now, and we'll see what happens when the person starts meditation. They're not meditating, and then they'll start in just a moment. Notice, when they started meditation, it took them about less than half a second. Notice the high amplitude of local coherence in the front, on the left, and the right hand side. And the similarity in the signals, just the waveforms are pretty similar. And similarity is borne out by careful calculation of the EEG coherence. And let's just pause here. So we pause, you can see that right at the start of TM, coherence maximized and stayed most of the time above 90% of 0.9, which is extraordinary, because the normal range of coherence is somewhere between 30 and 40% for an individual. This individual has very good brain coherence, even when they're not meditating, which is averaging around 60%. And when they start meditating within less than a second, they go to a very high level.
So that's the objective science behind it. Now, in terms of practical experience that people are having, top leaders, this is just a quick 1 minute kind of share from these guys.
Meditation, more than any other factor, has been the reason for whatever success I've had.
Physical and mental energy is the greatest riches of human life. And TM is like a free account of an endless amount.
Not only what it does for me personally, it has an impact on the people who are around you.
It gives me a wider base from which to see why.
There's a peacefulness that I would never achieve before. I can't do without it.
The busier we are, the more we need that center and time. And from that place, be much more effective at what we're doing.
So that's basically the intellectual understanding. And what we want to do now is just an experiential process here where we actually, I'll stop this here actually. We actually have an experience of a taste of transcending. So what we're going to do is just start with a breathing technique. And the breathing technique is to really just synchronize the brain. And it's also to balance the brain, the left and right hemisphere. And also it sets up that ability for the mind to settle down. So all we're going to do is just take our ring finger in our right hand and close our left nostril. And it's best if we can close our eyes, because then we're more centered. So we're just going to breathe out that right nostril slowly and gently. And then we've fully breathed out, and we want to breathe in that right nostril again. Fully and gently into the belly, and then close the right nostril with the thumb and breathe out the left nostril. So you're just going to do this for a minute, just alternating left and right. Slowly and gently. And we want the breath to become more and more fainter as we're doing it, because that's settling down our metabolism and our mind. So what we're going to do now, you can just stop the breathing. Keep the eyes closed if you can. I'll just explain this, is we're going to allow the mind to naturally transcend effortlessly. And meditation ideally is effortless because the nature of the mind wants to transcend. The nature of the mind wants to be settled. The nature of the body wants to be active. So when the mind is settled, then we give the body that best chance to be active. We become dynamic from within. We're like the arrow pulled back on the bow. So what we're going to do is we're going to either focus on the breath and come back to the breath every time you notice you're going off on thoughts. Do not grumble about the thoughts. The thoughts are part of the meditation process. It's the outward stroke of meditation. It's releasing the stress. It's releasing the impressions that may be there on the mind. So if we are experiencing thoughts while we're meditating, just recognize, oh, I'm thinking thoughts now. Come back to my breath and just focus on the breath. And then that takes you on the inward stroke of meditation, allows you to transcend the waking, dreaming, sleeping state and get into that gap where thoughts come from, the source of thinking. Now, if it's too hard to focus on the breath, then you can use a simple words like I am. Come back to I am. So we're just going to either use the breath or use the I am as a mantra. Mantra means mind vehicle. Man means mind. Trump means vehicle. So we're just going to use that vehicle to recenter ourselves when we notice that, oh, we're thinking thoughts. Oh, I've released that stress. Let's come back to this mantra or this breathing. And so just you're going to observe yourself doing this. You're not going to worry about thoughts. Thoughts are good. And when thoughts do come up and you recognize, oh, I'm off on thoughts, let's come back to thinking gently and effortlessly as you would any other thought, that mantra or focusing on the breath. So we'll just do this for 3 minutes or 3 to 5 minutes, somewhere in there. Don't mind the time. Just take it as it comes. And then we'll conclude after that. So let's begin. Okay, so stop thinking the mantra or focusing on the breath and just keep the eyes closed for about a minute just to allow the mind to come to the surface. It's been in a very settled state. Just allow it a bit of a time to come back to the surface. Okay, slowly open the eyes. So hopefully you notice that when the mind settles down, then the body settles down. And then that's when the stress is allowed to be released from the nervous system and our muscles and tensions and things like that. The mind and body are very intimately connected because of the nervous system. And, you know, even if you were having a lot of thoughts and you weren't having much of the transcending or focusing on the mantra, even that is beneficial. Even that is letting go of things so that the body can be more at ease and more relaxed. So that's basically the experience there. Now, what we've done here, we've set the platform for you to think and decide and lead more coherently and more clearly. And what I'm going to offer to the masterclass is, I'll just share the screen again just to quickly go through this to show you what I'm going to leave you for your homework sort of thing. This one. Okay, so this is a guide. And basically, we're going to take you through those six steps that I mentioned earlier on. And we're just going to go into what deciding is all about. We don't just want to think big, we want to decide big, like really big. And when it comes to deciding really big, there's basically three categories of deciding that we have to do. Deciding to create, deciding to maintain something, and deciding to correct something. And if there's something that needs to be corrected, the most important thing you can do before creating and maintaining is correcting that thing. Because when we don't correct either something from the past or the present or potentially could happen in the future, then we're going to create a drag. It's going to be like we're going to have the handbrake on our progress. So correcting is very, very important. It's often overlooked. And because we're so preoccupied with wanting to create and maintain, we forget sometimes there's things we have to correct, you know, from past decision making. And so when we can correct that, then we actually get more support and we can create maximum and maintain maximum. So basically what this guide is we're going to take you through the big decision you have to make, whether it's creating, maintaining, or correcting. It could be to buy, sell, invest, hire, fire, retire, expand, contract, dissolve, discontinue, or transition. So whatever it is for you and your situation right now. And then we're going to go into what the clarity is. It's a question there. Going to go into the coherence, how it's influencing you and your environment and why. And then those two things represent the belief in yourself, right? And you need to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, if it's not quite a 9 or a 10, then you haven't really got that clarity and coherence there. So you need to go back and look at how can you be more clear and more coherent. Then we go into creativity. What is the creativity required? What is the capacity that you need to demonstrate in order to fulfill this decision or have? And then this will represent your belief in what you do and the process, right? And again, ideally, it should be a 9 or a 10. If it's not, go back and go deeper into your creativity and capacity. Then we have being a catalyst. You know, what's the action that needs to be taken to support this decision? And then how are you going to capitalize on it? Where's the support going to come from? How are you going to inspire the support to come towards you rather than you chasing it? And that represents your belief in others and the outcomes that you're looking for. Again, it should be a 9 or a 10. If it's not, go back and go deeper. So then ultimately you want to trust the decision. No point making a decision, then you don't trust the decision. You know, so you got to know why you trust this decision. And then we're going to give you a free ebook of our book, The Science of Protection, Making High Pressure Impactful Leadership Decisions That Protect and Enhance You and Everyone. And Ace, that's it.
That was amazing, man. Thank you very much. I'm I'm surprised I can talk right now. I got so relaxed during the meditation.
Nice.
It was very calming and relaxing. I feel like you had mentioned something earlier about one of your clients being the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. And ever since I had you on the show, when things get chaotic, I visualize, okay, what do I need to do to become the eye of the storm? Because the storm is going to come around us throughout our life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so
it's
I love that. I love that visualization. And for me personally, change used to be a very difficult thing. And it's not that it's easy these days, but having a meditation practice, breathing practices, it makes it so much better, so much easier to, like you said, you put yourself in a higher consciousness, so you're able to have a different perspective on things.
To get centered again and come back on course through meditation is super important, because if we don't recenter and realign back to consciousness, our CEO leadership consciousness, then we may end up going off on tangents that have to correct. We have to take a lot of time correcting, you know, and we spoke about on this podcast that, you know, it's, we're either creating or correcting, you know, and we don't want to have to spend too much time correcting so we can maximize creating and to come back on course through settling the mind and being coherent again is super important. So you can do that.
I love that. And I love how you talked about, you know, we're so busy creating or maintaining that, yeah, we don't take the time to correct. And so I appreciate you pointing that out, because that is so powerful to have in your life. A couple quick questions for you. Notice that when we were meditating, there was no music in the background. Can the listeners put some sort of meditative? I know there's certain frequencies, usually between 400 and 500 hertz of meditative music that people use. Do you recommend no music, or will music enhance it, or does it really just depend on the individual?
Great question. So as we mentioned, there's those four ways of activating the coherence. It's best to keep them distinct and separate, right? And okay. So if you're exercising, focus fully on exercising, right? And then, because then you're listening to your mind-body coordination. If you're listening to music, focus fully on listening to music. If you're meditating and breathing, focus fully on doing that, right? And then we're not dividing the mind, because if we're meditating and then there's music going in the background, our mind, our senses will go out to that. And so then we're taking away from this experience we're trying to center inside of ourselves. So great question. Just keep them distinct.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you said, the coherence. Mm-hmm. If we have a coherent mind and body, then we can reach those deeper states of calm, and then all the fun, cool things start happening in our body, like lowering the cortisol and all of that. So yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that.
And you could dovetail them. You could say, okay, I'm going to do some exercise. I mean, ideally we do yoga to break down the stresses and tensions in our body. Then we can listen to music just to kind of soothe ourselves. Then we can do a little bit of breathing just to balance the brain and our breath. And then we can go into our meditation. We might even have a better experience. So you could stack them like that if you really wanted to get a great lift for yourself and your consciousness.
That sounds like an amazing thing to do, like on a Sunday, getting ready for the week. That would be amazing. Speaking of days of the week or times of the day, for somebody who's starting out, what do you recommend as far as, is there a better time of the day where your body will be more in tune to a meditative practice?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Basically sunrise, before sunrise and before sunset, just before sunrise or around sunrise, and just before sunset or around sunset, unless you want to watch the sunset and then go back to your meditation. But yeah, so there's a junction point between night and day, right? And it's like life, the environment is transcending. It transcends out of the darkness and into the light, out of the light into the darkness, right? So there's a gap of transcendent. Nature even transcends at that point in time. So if you can, ideally, do it then. If not ideal, but you just need to do it anytime because you feel so off center, then just do it anytime, right? Whenever you can. But yeah. Ideally, you know, beginning and end of the day. Because at the end of the day, we accumulate some stress and we want to wash that off us so we can enjoy our evening and have actually a bit of sleep.
Yeah, I'm assuming that, yeah, doing it right, you know, as you transcend into the night, one, it's going to make your night nice and calm. But then, yeah, when you sleep, your mind isn't going to go a million miles a second like mine does from time to time. So
we all can get caught. That's yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things, just one more question. One of the things was you can get into that meditative state pretty quickly. I think there's a, you know, a lack of understanding. Some people think you got to do what you did. Go to a monastery or a temple and meditate for days, weeks, months, years, and that it's this very difficult thing that only the best meditators and monks can do. But as the science shows, you can get into that meditative state in less than a second. And I know it's a muscle that you need to build up. So my question, roundabout way of asking this, how long and how often should somebody do this when they're starting out? And then as they build up, what's kind of just general guidelines for how long to do the breathing exercise and the meditation and how often it should be done?
So ideally, twice a day to get maximum benefit. If you do once a day, fantastic. 5 minutes of breathing, of the alternate nose breathing, otherwise known as pranayama. And the meditation, ideally 20 minutes. They've shown in studies that it takes about 20 minutes for our mind and physiology to reset back to homeostasis, right? And so you can build up, start with 5 minutes, feel comfortable with 5 minutes. Okay, let's go for 10. And what you notice as you're transcending is that you start to go beyond time and space. Like you go, oh, wow, that was 20 minutes. I felt like 5 minutes, right? And so when you're transcending correctly and effortlessly, then you'll find that that happens.
That's incredible. And I also like what you said, that the thoughts are part of the process. I think beginning meditators can get frustrated with themselves because they're not doing it right. And really those thoughts are a natural part of the process. And I appreciate you saying that because that was one of the things I struggled with for a while when I first started meditating, was getting frustrated with myself. And that takes you out of that state and just understanding that, hey, that's going to happen and it's okay. Just bring yourself back to the mantra or the breath. And if you have to do it 500 times in the 20 minutes, well, you do it 500 times. It is what it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just being easy with it. And thoughts of meditation, just think of it as you're throwing out the garbage. It doesn't matter what those thoughts are. Don't act on thoughts of meditation. Thoughts of meditation are a release of stress. If you have a good thought during meditation, you can always analyze it after meditation. Either write it down and then go back and look at it and see, is this relevant or is it just an unstressing thought, right? So, yeah, I mean, TM is very effective in that they give you a personalized mantra that's conducive to your nervous system where you're at. So that's ideal. But if you're not ready to do that, then just, you know, go with a very simple mantra or just the breath.
Incredible. Well, I really appreciate your time. Once again, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your experience, these very simple but powerful tools and techniques that people can apply immediately. And so for everybody listening, once again, this is Ramon, or I'd like to say Ra. Thank you once again for coming on the show. If you want more information on Ra and his services, go to superherobydesign.com/Ramon. Once again, that's spelled RAAMON. Well, man, it was a pleasure having you on this masterclass. Once again, I love having you on, and I'm going to try to get you on again and again and again, if that's all right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love what you're doing, Ace. I mean, I think this idea that you have and this really powerful concept of enlivening the superhero in everybody is so, so needed. Everybody needs to recognize that. And you're like, you've become that catalyst in the world to bring that out. And so anything I can do to support you on that, man, I'm all in.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, maybe we'll have to go back to your hometown one of these days. And that's on my bucket list of places to go. So, man, just amazing having you on again. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Great joy.
Alrighty. Well, everybody listening, this is the Masterclass series, so tune in next week for another wonderful episode. And with that said, peace out.